Well, today's reading about Stephen before the Sanhedrin is very, very interesting because it actually forms a transition from the subject last week, which was the confrontation of complacency. And why it does that is because Stephen used the word of God before the Sanhedrin to confront the complacent religious leaders. They were self-satisfied in their relationship with God, and this gave them an opportunity to change, an opportunity to respond to the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, the convicting work of the Spirit. He was giving them that opportunity. And this is what Jesus described in John 16, verses 7 and 8. He said this when about the Holy Spirit coming, about the Comforter. "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor," or the Comforter, in many translations, "will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment." But these religious leaders, they rejected the Comforter's conviction, as Stephen declared in Acts chapter 7, near the end of the talk that he gave to them. He said, "You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. You always resist the Comforter. He's come for you to convict you, but you always resist him." And that's what they did. They actually stoned Stephen. But the Comforter's convicting work is not just for unbelievers who still are in the world. It's also for believers who need the world to get out of them, still have some of the world in them that needs to be dealt with. And this ministry of the Holy Spirit is an ongoing ministry in the Christian's life. And the rest of Jesus' description talks about this in verse 16. And this is the passage I want to sort of unpack, look at today. 16:12 through 14. "I have much more to say to you, more than you now can bear." That's a very interesting sentence. We'll look at that deeper. "More than you now can bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you." And this is part of the process of the Comforter's conviction, this part of the process where the Holy Spirit came, the Spirit of truth, to dish out, little by little, what we need for our spiritual growth. Now, Jesus had said these words. He knows what we can take. He knows how much conviction we can take. "I have much more to say to you, more than you now can bear." He's not going to overburden us. But He knows how much we can take. And now this was spoken to the 12 disciples that became apostles. But it applies to all believers. Because Jesus had taught the 12 that about the kingdom of God. He taught them a whole lot of things about the kingdom of God. But now He wants them to start practicing kingdom living. There's so much more for them to learn. He had much more to say to them, and He has much more to say to us. So this is a process that we go through. And all of us as Christians, we are works in progress. We are set on display even though we are works in progress. I don't know if you've ever been to an exhibition of artwork and you see this painting, it looks like it's unfinished, and it is. But it's set on display to show a work in progress. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. That's what Jesus wants us to be. We're works in progress. And we are solicited by Jesus to follow Him, to start serving others. And when that happens, what we are called into service, but now we are in on-the-job training. I remember in nursing having to learn something new or go to a new place, and you got on, you were working, but you got on the job training while you were working. And that's what the Christian life is like. It's like we're serving, but we're in on the job training, and it never ends because there's so much for us to learn. So we keep on learning. And we might think of it, you know, if that's the case, if we think we're arrived, well, we haven't arrived. We think, well, I've reached my destination. No, you've only reached a stopping point. You've taken another step. You've got lots of more steps to take. And so this eliminates any kind of pride, spiritual boasting. We have to be humble because God is not finished with us. I don't know if you remember seeing those bumper stickers, or they were on buttons that people had, or t-shirts, where it said just these letters, PBP, WMG, INF, WMY. Please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. And you know, those letters, they stood for that sentence, and it reminded not only us, but it reminded other people, hey, we're Christians. God's not finished with us yet. We're not done products. We're works in progress. You know, we're still on the job training, and we're going to have that until we leave here. Jesus knows exactly how far we need to go. He knows exactly where we need to go, how far we need to go. He knows the best timing to teach us those things. And he also knows the next best step, the best next step for us to take in order to get to that destination. Well, he told his disciples this, I have much more to say to you, more than you now can bear. In other words, Jesus has given us a storehouse inside of us. It's like a storehouse for guidance in spiritual growth. And that storehouse is Him. It's His very indwelling presence. And He knows what our learning readiness is. Have you ever heard of that, learning readiness? Bruce, you probably remember that when you were teaching. People have to have learning readiness when they get into school. And also, Jesus knows our limitations. How much we can learn at a specific amount of time. So by the Holy Spirit, Jesus brings conviction into our lives based on knowing our individual needs. He knows who we are. He knows exactly what we need. And so it's like this. I wrote this poem some time ago. This poem is called God's Classroom. And I wanted to try to show exactly what I'm talking about today, how God has a curriculum that's individualized for each of us. God's classroom. We are students in the schoolhouse of the Master, safely seated in the classroom of the King. And the pace is never harder, never faster than the learning speed and study skills we bring. God has placed us in the courses we are taking, for specific needs we may not even know. He arranges private lessons for our breaking to uproot the pride that will not let us grow. God's curriculum is thorough for our training. We can trust the wise assignments He has planned. He has teaching methods far beyond explaining, and no failing grade will issue from His hand. We should never focus on the work of others. We must study the material we're shown. He is tutoring our sisters and our brothers in a special pattern known to Him alone. We must free our friends and relatives for learning, knowing that His course design is right for each. We can rest, for He is perfectly discerning when it's time and what is best for Him to teach. I mean, it is so individualized. Our lives are like that. And the whole Trinity is involved in this process, this classroom process, where the Holy Spirit is our resident instructor who convicts us to change our wrong attitudes into right attitudes. And because Jesus is wise and loving and trustworthy, He's not going to overload us. He's not going to overload us. But through the indwelling Holy Spirit, Jesus uses truth to convict us of our sins. Things where we are wrong. Things where we don't have the right attitude. He wants us to convict us by truth. He uses truth to bring this conviction, it says, he was talking about the Holy Spirit in verse 13, but when He, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. The target of conviction is the conscience inside of our hearts. And only when the conscience is properly instructed can it recognize wrongdoing or neglected duties. When truth hits its mark, inside of our heart, then true guilt is experienced. But false guilt can also be experienced if our conscience has been trained the wrong way. These religious leaders put Stephen to death, and they would have felt guilty if they hadn't, because they were convinced, they were convicted that this man's a heretic and we need to stone him for blasphemy. And if we don't do it, we'll feel sorrow in our hearts. But that was a false guilt, because it wasn't based on the truth. God wants to use truth to bring these changes into our lives. When God's people in the Old Testament went astray, what did He do? He raised up prophets of old that were anointed by the Holy Spirit so that these prophets could bring conviction to rulers, the people of Israel, conviction about their attitudes and about their actions, sins that were committed and maybe sins of omission, things that were duties that were omitted or neglected. Here's an example verse of this in Isaiah. He's doing this in chapter 1. He says, "Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right." That's what we've been talking about. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. "Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow." And he's got all of these things listed because he's using truth to show them and bring conviction. The Holy Spirit confronts us, and He confronts us about where we fail to have the right attitude and the right behavior. And He's done this not to bring condemnation, not to condemn us, but to convince us. To change our mind. To change our mind and our behavior. Being created in the likeness of the Creator, our destiny, our true destiny, is to live like the Creator. To be like Him. To walk in God's wisdom and God's ways. To have His mind. To behave in His manner of behavior. To serve others the way that Jesus did, as an example of servant leadership. And that's what Jesus did, serving us. And that dynamic, ongoing growth in our lives comes through the Holy Spirit convicting us to change our thinking, to change our attitudes, and to wrong attitudes to become right ones. It's a step-by-step process, and it's only one step at a time. It's not, God doesn't overload us. He will not speak on His own, Jesus says about the Spirit. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is to come. The Comforter is like our built-in GPS. I don't know if you are familiar with GPSs now, but you can have them on your phone, and it can actually tell you where your car is supposed to go. The GPS doesn't know nothing. It's picking up directions from elsewhere, and that's what the Holy Spirit does in us. He takes the truth that Jesus has told him, tell him this truth now. And Jesus knows exactly the next best step in our learning. He knows what is yet to come in all these steps that we need to take. But He's only going to get us one at a time. Jesus could actually load it on us and say, do all these changes now. We say, oh, I can't do it. You know, we can't do it that way. And Jesus knows that. He knows our humanity. And so this makes our spiritual growth a very intimate process. It's a Jesus process. It's a Jesus process from finish to start to finish. Jesus is glorified when we make these changes. That's what it says in verse 14. He will bring glory to me. The Holy Spirit will bring glory to me, Jesus says, by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. You have to remember, repentance means this process that results in a changed life. It may be sort of like I said earlier, a circle. You're moving from one step to the other and you end up in the last step, and then that last step introduces you into another cycle of change. And that's what we're going to be looking at more and more as we go through this. But I want to mention that the object of change is for us to be more and more like Jesus. It's not just to keep a bunch of rules and say, oh, I have all these lists of rules and I kept every one. The object of change is to be more like Jesus. Words about Jesus and words from Jesus actually sort of confront our complacency. But it must go deeper. And the Holy Spirit takes the life of Jesus, not just what he said, but what he was and who he was and how he behaved, and he holds it up to our lives, and when that happens, it brings conviction. It brings conviction. Our union with Christ that we have is by faith. We, by faith, have salvation, and that salvation is the divine nature is now ours. And Terry read that last week in his message in 2 Peter, where it says that we have these great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. And escape the corruption that is in the world by evil desires. Salvation puts the new nature, the divine nature, down in our hearts. But sanctification is the process by which the Holy Spirit brings that divine nature out into our outer lives, our daily practice, our behaviors, the way we act, the way we behave. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do, to bring the divine nature from the inside to the outside. The Holy Spirit does this, Jesus says, by taking what he said, what is mine, and making it known to you. We are like sanctuaries with a hidden, unseen treasure. That treasure is Christ. He lives inside of us, and he has a glorious life, and he has a divine nature, and he wants us to manifest that. The Holy Spirit is like taking us on a journey inward so that we can fellowship with the divine nature of Christ. But he doesn't want to stop there. He then wants to take us on a journey outward of that divine union life with Christ, and for it to be outward. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." We don't get it from a list of rules. We don't even get it from Jesus' teachings. What we get it from is himself. We get it from he is the light. He is the way. He is the truth. And by our fellowship with him, and the closer we get to him, the more we recognize, hey, I've got far to go on this journey. So praise the Lord. Jesus does not leave us alone. He gives us a comforter, and praise the Lord, the comforter doesn't leave us alone either. The comforter convicts us of wrong attitudes and tries to bring us to have right ones. And that's the goal. That's what we want to do. We want to grow as Christians. And that conviction has a goal too. It's to bring our hearts to contrition. To have contrite hearts. And that's another choice. If we are convicted, we have to respond the right way. And that's what the next step is going to do. But we do have to have. We have to recognize when the Holy Spirit is giving us truth. We have to recognize when we are being convicted. Then we can have the right attitude. So we're going to learn more about that right attitude next week. A contrite heart. Let's pray. Father God, we are thankful for the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit does not leave us alone, but actually, if we are going in the wrong direction, does bring conviction about our wrong attitudes, our wrong guidance, our wrong ideas, and helps us to have the right ones and the right behavior. Lord, we want to be on that journey with you, a journey of change, and we ask that you'd help us to stay open to that. In Jesus' name. Amen.